Welcome to Men's Health New England. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Cianti, director of the Cianti Prostate Center of Boston at Greater Boston Urology. Join us every weekend at this time for the most advanced and up-to-date discussion of topics most important to men's health. Join us every week as we discuss topics like prostate cancer and prostate disease, sexual health, lifestyle and diet, weight management, heart health, and hormonal health. Every week, we will interview national experts in men's health and empower you with up-to-date, scientific, and progressive information that you can use to improve your overall health, achieve weight loss, lower your risk for heart disease, maximize your sexual performance, and deal with prostate problems. Now, this is our last show of the year. Men's Health New England debuted on July 6, 2013, and during the first half of today's show, I'm going to recap for you some of the most important information presented over the past 6 months. We'll hit the highlights and we'll talk about some of the topics that were most important. Then we have a very special treat for the second half of the show. How can we possibly review 2013 without talking about the incredible season that the Red Sox had this year? This was clearly the year for Boston Strong. 2013 also marks the official debut of an incredible new Red Sox blog site called Monsta Mash. That's M-O-N-S-T-A-H, mash.com. And today I will have in the studio as my special guest, the creator of this premier Red Sox blog site, Mr. Tyler Cianti, who happens to be my nephew, but he's also a student at the College of the Holy Cross. And Tyler's going to give us a special year-end hot stove report on the Red Sox. So stay tuned for our incredible show today. And remember, I invite you to contact us on WRKO/Men's Health. Submit your questions. I'll answer them on the air in subsequent shows. And learn more about prostate disease and prostate cancer at my website, which is drscionti.com. My prostate center is located at Greater Boston Urology in Milton, with current locations opening in Framingham and Norwood in 2014, so watch for us. Phone number is 617-696-1826. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with today's show. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Stephen Cianti, your host of Men's Health New England. I'm the founder and director of the Cianti Prostate Center at Greater Boston Urology. And today we're going to talk about some of the most important issues and topics we discussed in the year 2013. So remember, our show debuted on July 6, 2013, so it's 6 months. It's our six-month anniversary. And some of the most important topics we talked about over the last 6 months obviously centered around things like prostate cancer, exercise and nutrition, diet, weight management. We talked about hormonal health. We had special guests. And I'm going to just review some of those special guests and highlights of these shows with you today. So let's start with prostate cancer. You know, PSA controversy is really hit the real news in 2013. This was all over the news as the U.S. Preventive Health Task Force panel recommended against routine PSA screening. Well, here's the problem. When you ask men, men say, well, that's great for the government to say that, but if it's me, I really want to be screened. If I've got prostate cancer, I want to know about it and want to be able to do something about it. So we talked about the controversy with screening for prostate cancer and the fact that studies have been published since that time. For example, a major study in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine that we highlighted said that only 13% of men surveyed said that they would choose not to be screened based on the information presented by the United States Preventive Services Task Force panel. So guys get it that, you know, screening is not necessarily bad. Now, we talked about the fact that screening has to be selective. So, you know, we shouldn't be doing PSA screening on men in their, you know, advanced years, because it's really clear that making the diagnosis at that age, the disease is really not anywhere near as severe as the treatment. So, you know, we've got to be smart about this. But in our center, we really have pioneered the role of advanced diagnostics. And we've talked about this over the last 6 months. So what do we mean by that? Well, if you've got an elevated PSA, the first step is not necessarily a prostate biopsy. It really is using advanced diagnostic studies such as MRI and what's called an MRI-guided targeted smart prostate biopsy. And we introduced a system called ARTEMIS, or as the ladies in my office call it, ARTI. So ARTI is a computerized robotic device that allows me to use MRI images to see exactly where the tumor may be in a prostate, then use the MRI pictures directly to guide how a biopsy is performed. That allows for a much more accurate biopsy. We talked about some of the studies from UCLA and from the National Cancer Institute that show the improved accuracy of an MRI-guided smart biopsy. So I think that really sets the stage for a new standard of care. And in the Boston area, certainly that's available at our center. And if we go to other parts of the country, for example, in New York City, institutions such as Cornell, Memorial Sloan Kettering, New York University, Mount Sinai, Long Island Jewish Medical Center out in Long Island, all use MRI-guided diagnostics. So really, this is a changing paradigm. And guys, what I want you to know is if you've got an elevated PSA, we have to have a smarter approach than just blindly doing a prostate biopsy. There's ways to do better diagnostics, and that's really what we talked about through several of our shows. One of our special guests throughout this past season has been Dr. Michael Brower. Dr. Brower is the chief medical officer at Myriad Genetics. He's out on the West Coast. And we talked about the genetic analysis of prostate cancer. So it's possible today to take a biopsy specimen. That is, when we do that targeted biopsy, we can take a piece of the tumor, and now we can send that tumor to Myriad Genetics and really do a sequencing of the DNA, the genes of that tumor. Because what we learned from Dr. Brower is that cancers that may look slow growing on the outside, it's hard to really know how those cells are going to behave. Are they going to be lambs or are they going to be lions? Right? Are they going to be dangerous tumors or not? One of the ways to really know that is to really do a DNA sequencing, and the Myriad Genetics test called the ProLaris gives us a look inside the cell's machinery, and we can see whether that cancer is programmed to be a bad cancer or one that we can simply watch and likely never to cause any problems. So one of the critical, I think, tests that hit the scene this year is this ProLaris test, this genetic analysis of prostate tumors, and we use this in our center to help arrive at proper diagnostic decisions. Now, we know that observation or active surveillance can really be a safe strategy. In fact, we highlighted a study that was published this year in June in the Annals of Internal Medicine. And the study really came out of Boston. It came out of the Dana-Farber. And it's the conclusion of the study was that in men who have low-risk prostate cancer, active surveillance and watchful waiting of that cancer are very reasonable options. And in fact, we can't show that men who have surveillance or observation, we can't tell they do any worse than men who have aggressive therapies. So with this information, really it comes down to understanding who has low-risk disease. Again, that's the importance of the ProLaris test. Well, we also talked a lot about, in the past 6 months, some of the revolutionary new minimally invasive treatments for prostate cancer. So once we know that a cancer requires treatment, can we use less invasive strategies so that we preserve function, preserve quality of life? So one of my guests was Dr. Amory Wertschafter, who is a premier urologist out of Miami, Florida, who is my special guest, and we discussed the role of prostate cryotherapy. That's a procedure where we freeze the prostate cancer. So we can freeze the tumor by placing some needles under ultrasound guidance directly into the prostate. Now, of course, men are asleep when we do this, but we're able to mold ice into the prostate and treat as much or as little of the prostate cancer as we need to treat. Prostate cryotherapy has been around for over 15 years, and certainly its role is now gaining a lot of popularity because we're looking for less invasive opportunities short of radical surgery or total prostate radiation therapy. So Dr. Wertschafter really shared his experiences with us and myself as well. I've been doing prostate cryotherapy now for almost 15 years, and have a personal experience of over 1,000 patients treated. It's one of the premier treatments that we offer at the Scionti Prostate Center of Boston. We then moved into some of the new high-tech approaches. So we had several shows over the past 6 months in which we talked about a very high-tech procedure. There's a non-invasive robotic ultrasound-guided therapy called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Now, we introduced this therapy and talked a little bit about how this worked. This is a non-invasive therapy where an ultrasound probe is placed into the rectal canal, and using computer control and guidance, the prostate can be placed on the screen from images. And using the ultrasound images, we can guide therapy. We can treat as much or as little of the prostate as necessary. And we can do that with very tight precision. Two of my patients were special guests on the show. One particular patient was an attorney from the Boston area and was treated about 2 years ago. He shared his experiences of going through the whole process of being diagnosed, what it was like to have to make a treatment decision, and then what it was like to go out of the country. He went down for treatment in Bermuda. We performed his high-intensity focused ultrasound treatment. And at about a year after when he came on the show, after his treatment, he was able to tell us that he was, in fact, cancer-free, and he had an unchanged quality of life. So I think it was great to hear from some of the men's personal experiences. One of our recent shows had a local psychologist who came on the show. And this gentleman told us his story. And I think it's very important because it highlights some of the concepts we've been talking about. He told us how he'd been battling an elevated PSA for over 10 years. He had had two sets of standard prostate biopsies that were negative biopsies. Now, in fact, these were standard ultrasound-guided, what I call blind biopsies. He saw one of my associates in New York at the NYU Smilo Prostate Cancer Center, Dr. Gio Espinosa. And Dr. Gio has been a colleague of mine for many years. Dr. Gio, who's a naturopathic physician, introduced this gentleman to the MRI-targeted diagnostics we use at our prostate center. And so even though he lives in the Newton area, he was getting a lot of his advice from New York City and was referred right back here to Boston. So we did an MRI. We found a tumor in his prostate that was hidden and not been detected over many years. Turns out it was a fairly high-grade tumor. He was really concerned about his quality of life. And so we were able to offer him a targeted HIFU treatment. We were able to outline a portion of the prostate where this tumor was, direct energy to this area, and destroy that tumor. And that was called a focal HIFU treatment. He had this treatment this past summer down in Nassau, and he came on the show a couple of weeks ago and talked about his experiences. Now, in fact, I was a special guest on his TV show. For any of you who want to see his experiences, go to newtv.org, newtv.org. That's a public access programming station in Newton, public access cable programming. You can go to their website, newtv.org, and the show is called On the Sunny Side of the Street. On the Sunny Side of the Street. And you'll see the segment in which the host is Dr. Todd Gross, talks about his own experiences with prostate cancer and going through some of these revolutionary treatments. So that's been a busy year with prostate cancer and treatments. Then we shifted gears throughout this season. We've talked a lot about exercise and nutrition. Weekly, I've really pounded home the importance of proper exercise and proper nutrition. We reviewed studies that showed that men who followed a diet that was low in carbohydrates and heart healthy, with the proper fats, avoiding some of the bad fats, avoiding processed foods, plenty of fruits and vegetables. For example, we talked about pomegranate, green tea, the spiced turmeric, and broccoli, how they helped men fight prostate cancer. In fact, we talked about several studies in which men who have been diagnosed with prostate cancer on a proper diet of supplements, broccoli, tea, spices, avoiding high sugary foods, processed foods, they were able to get a much better outcome for their prostate cancer with lower rates of recurrence. Now, that's important for other issues other than prostate cancer. Obviously, a diet that's good for prostate cancer is also a diet that's heart healthy. One of my special guests has been Dr. Lars Bowman. Lars Bowman is the director of Cenogenics Boston, which is a program in downtown Boston. It's an elite health program, and Dr. Bowman has been my guest on several shows and discussed the importance of this low glycemic index diet. One of the studies, we talked about the importance of proper sleep and some of the things that can go wrong with sleep. The importance of proper exercise has been emphasized by Dr. Bowman. We talked about high-intensity interval training, that is, exercise for short durations into the proper heart rate ranges. We had a whole show talking about low energy, fatigue, you know, the symptom that a lot of guys feel when they reach their 40s or 50s. I just don't have the energy. I feel tired. I'm not into it. And a lot of the times that's related to low testosterone, so-called low T. So Dr. Bowman really talked about the importance of making the diagnosis of low T and the proper way to supplement testosterone, the proper way to do that safely and to restore testosterone levels, restoring energy, restoring vitality, restoring a proper sexual function. So it's been really a busy, busy season in which a lot of the experts have really come down and we've talked about a lot of the same concepts. It all comes back to some of the fundamentals, right? The fundamentals of proper diet, proper nutrition, proper exercise, the proper amount of sleep. But, you know, for guys who reach, especially whether you're 30, 40, 50, 60, or 70 years old, these issues are all important. It's an important aspect of men's health. So we're going to go ahead and take a break here in just a moment. But remember, to learn more about prostate disease and prostate cancer, go to drscionti, that's drscionti.com, or look at our website at massbayurology.com. You can always call our offices at 617-696-1826. Now, I've got some great news that we'll talk more about in the next year, but the Scionti Prostate Center of Boston is going to be moving locations. We're moving our locations to central locations in Framingham, right on Route 9, and down in Norwood. So more access to more of our patients throughout Massachusetts. Follow this on subsequent shows. I'll be telling you about our new office locations. So we'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to finish our update. And then we're going to, as I promised you, bring you the hot stove report from Tyler Scionti. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on Men's Health New England. Welcome back. This is Dr. Stephen Scionti, founder and director of the Scionti Prostate Center of Boston and your host of Men's Health New England. Today, we're doing a recap of the most important stories we've had on our show in the first 6 months of our airing. And so we've gone through some of the aspects with prostate cancer diagnostics. We've talked about the importance of health and nutrition. And I'm just going to finish up this wrap up in this segment. So One of our premier guests this season has been my good friend and colleague, Dr. Giovanni Espinosa, or Dr. Gio. He came on the show in August and really talked about the importance of nutrition and supplements. Now, Dr. Gio is a naturopathic physician from the New York University School of Medicine, and he's the director of naturopathic urology at the Smilo Comprehensive Prostate Cancer Center in New York City. Dr. Gio talked about how important it is for men on active surveillance for prostate cancer or who have been diagnosed to have the proper nutritional approach. And again, this goes back to some of the basics. We talked about the importance of a low glycemic diet. We talked about the importance of natural foods. In fact, Dr. Gio made a real plea for really eating organic, avoiding processed foods, avoiding chemicals, and really talked about what I think is a very popular movement today, that's locally sourced produce. And it really goes back to some of the basics. You want to avoid excess chemicals. You know, he made an important statement about, some of the processing. I think a lot of processed cold cuts, processed meats are loaded with nitrites. And he told us that these really can be harmful and can be cancer promoting. We talked about proper ways to barbecue, and this is one of our segments this summer. You know, charring, if you have a steak, the steak isn't necessarily bad, but charring it on the grill is bad. That produces a lot of cancer-causing agents in the meat. Again, prostate supplements were emphasized, and I will refer you to a website that Dr. Gio blogs significantly on, and it's prostate.net. So just go to P-R-O-S-T-A-T-E, prostate.net. You'll see a lot of useful information on prostate supplements or drgeo.com, drgeo.com. learn more about what he does. One of our other special guests this year has been one of my associates, Dr. Lynn. He's been a special guest in the show several times. We've talked about restoring sexual health in men. And so what do we do when the little blue pill doesn't work? So when Viagra fails, we talked about different surgical approaches, different advanced approaches for restoring erectile function. And the message Dr. Lynn gave us is that really advanced diagnostics, determining what the true cause of ED is critically important to finding the right treatment. And finally, a very constant theme that's run through our show has been the importance of selecting a proper diet. I highlighted the book for you published by Dr. William Davis entitled Wheat Belly. Now, the premise of that book really is that wheat, which is the principal carbohydrate in our diet, is making us fat. I challenged all of our listeners to take out a tape measure, place it around your waist at the widest point, and if that's over 38 inches, you've got a problem. That's called the metabolic syndrome, and that, in effect, is what a wheat belly is. So we talked about the glycemic index. The glycemic index defines the ability of any particular food to raise blood sugar levels and produce insulin response. So a low glycemic index diet is really critical to maintaining proper weight and proper health. And again, I'd encourage all our readers to get this book called Wheat Belly, W-H-E-A-T, Wheat Belly. It's got a great discussion of glycemic index, talks about some of the problems caused by high carbohydrate diets, and particularly wheat. Now, one of the things that triggered this whole discussion, I'll bring it back to one of our early shows, and if you'll remember, the death of Tony Soprano, right? So James Gandolfini's sudden death was all too ordinary, right? And so here's a man who's in his 50s, the prime of his life, great show, achieved all the success, on vacation in Italy, and suffers a sudden cardiac death. What caused that? You have to really guess that it probably was lifestyle. And so one of the things we've talked about this entire show is lifestyle, lifestyle, lifestyle. You know, perhaps he could have been saved had he understood some of these concepts and practiced some of the concepts that we've talked about on our show. So guys, you know, it's really up to you. It's up to, if you know, if you want to maintain health, you know, it doesn't mean because you reach 50 or 60 that you have to accept obesity, you have to accept inactivity, low sex drive, low function. None of that's mandatory for aging. It really comes down to you taking control of your life. And on the show, continuing throughout the next year, I'm going to continue to bring studies to you. I'm going to continue to bring guests from around the country to talk about some of these important principles. So now I want to shift gears a little bit. For the rest of the show, we're going to provide some entertainment for you, because, as again, how can you talk about 2013 and not talk about, I think, one of the biggest studies, of course, in Boston? And that's the year the Red Sox had, right? Boston Strong. So I want to introduce to you my nephew, Mr. Tyler Cianti, who is the creator of MonsterMash.com. Tyler, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Cianti.
Well, tell us, what's the Monster Mash? What is that?
Well, Monster Mash, it's a sports news site dedicated to the Boston Red Sox that I started this season. And what we're really all about is we bring you the latest in Red Sox news. And so you look on the news, especially during the offseason, it's kind of hard to find out what exactly is going on with the Red Sox at this moment. And so what we do at Monster Mash is we bring you all the up-to-date headlines, so you can know what's going on with the Red Sox.
So do you write a lot of this content yourself, Tyler?
At the start, I did. I wrote actually pretty much all of it. We've hired three writers, and they've been working for me, so they've actually been taking over for a bit in terms of the content. I've been taking more of an editorial role on the site, but I still contribute every now and then.
So there's a lot of people who write about the Red Sox, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure there are, right? If you're in Boston, you know, a lot of you got Globe writers, you've got all sorts of people. So why, you know, I've seen some of the content of Monster Mash, and what do you think makes it different?
Well, what really makes us different is, first and foremost, is we're bringing you pretty much every story that's on the Red Sox right now. If you look on a lot of sites, especially during the off season, they'll give you one or two stories, maybe, you know, per day, or even a couple stories a week. What we do is we get all those stories from around the news, and we consolidate them in one area. And then the next thing that makes us different is we add our own little sarcastic twist on the news to make it a little bit more entertaining
so
for
it
the
is,
fans.
Yeah, it is entertaining. You know, so, you know, I'm going to have you give us, a hot stove report. So tell me, what's a hot stove report?
Well, a hot stove, that term kind of comes from, if you imagine people talking baseball on a hot stove and to keep warm during the winter. And so, but now during modern times and modern technology, really just kind of refers to all the off-season news that's going on with in the MLB, and you know what we're focusing on is the Red Sox, all the deals they've made, and a few of the players that have left Boston.
Right. So what's how do people find your site? What's your website?
Our website, it's monsta-mash.com. So that's monsta-mash.com.
Monsta-mash.com. So guys, go to that website, check out Tower's blog. I'm going to have him give us now our hot stove report. So Tower, you know, we have a couple of segments here, and I really want you to kind of tell what's going on. But what do you think is right now in the off season? What do you think is one of the biggest stories right now?
Oh, well, probably the single biggest story is actually Jacoby Ellsbury, heading for greener pastures in New York. And it kind of reminds us all of Johnny Damon back when he left after the 2004 World Series. And it's hard to kind of figure that. You know, Ellsbury, he spent 7 years in Boston. They drafted him. He wins 2 World Series titles, and he says, okay, guys, I'm going to head off to the evil empire. And so that was kind of tough to see.
Well, why do you think the Red Sox didn't want to give him the years on the contract? What was that all about?
I think mainly, actually, it really all boils down to the money. Ellsbury took $21.5 million from New York for 7 years. With the Red Sox, they were willing to offer him one less year and $20 million per year. So he kind of sold out for that extra $1.5 million. But I guess with Scott Boras as your agent, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I guess. You know, so, I mean, are we going to survive without him or what?
I definitely think so. If you look at Ellsbury's over his career, I mean, he's a career .297 hitter. He's only hit over .300 twice. And really his biggest thing is speed, but at the age of 30, he's not going to be that big of a base stealing threat once, you know, he hits 40 when the Yankees still have him. And the big thing I think that's going to be good for the Red Sox is they got this hot new prospect, Jackie Bradley Jr., who he made big waves in spring training when he hit about, 900? But, you know, he didn't do so well in the MLB. But if you look at his minor league stats down in Pawtucket, he hit a .275 line where he had a .374 OBP, .469 slugging percentage, and he hit 20 homers in 80 games. So you figure he's got to at least hit 15 to 20 homers over 162 games at the MLB level.
Well, that's exciting. Hey, Todd, we're going to take a quick break, right? And we're going to be right back. We're going to hear more about this hot stove report, okay? This is Dr. Steven Cianti, your host of Men's Health New England. We'll be right back with Tyler talking about MonsterMash.com, so stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Dr. Steven Cianti, founder and director of the Cianti Prostate Center of Boston, and your host of Men's Health New England. To learn more about prostate cancer and prostate disease, go to drscionti.com. Now, today, we've got Tyler Cianti, my nephew, a student at Holy Cross College, talking about his new blog site, MonsterMash.com. So, Tyler, let's continue with our hot stove report. So what else is important going on right now?
Oh, probably the biggest story next to Jacoby Ellsbury is actually the signing of A.J. Pierzynski. Now, this one kind of had me scratching my head a bit considering he's 37. And, we all kind of know how bad older catchers can do if you look at Jason Varitek down the road. And so, look at Pierzynski. He's a career .283 hitter. So it kind of makes sense that the Sox would bring him in considering that they're losing all that production from Jared Saltalamacchia. Then you figure in Pierzynski's age, the fact that he had an OBP under .300 last year and he's thrown out 25% of base stealers, the fact that also he's pretty not a nice guy, you got to figure it'll be interesting to see how he does in 2014.
So is he going to fit into the clubhouse?
Oh, well, you know, it's funny. In 2013, the whole thing was team chemistry, rah, rah, rah. Now it's kind of, let's bring in one of the meanest guys in baseball and see how it works. Just an idea of how Pierzynski is. He once punched one of his own teammates. He gets into fights with his pitchers, and he had platinum blonde highlights for quite a few years while he was with the White Sox. So get ready, Boston. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I guess it will, huh? So what happened to Salty? Where'd he go?
Salty took a 3-year deal with the Marlins. And, you know, you got to understand, with Jared Saltalamacchia, he's one of those late bloomers. He's in his late 20s, and he's really been hitting his stride, posting, you know, averages around .270, hitting 15 to 20 homers the last couple of seasons. He really deserved a good long deal, and that's really all it came down to was years. And the Sox weren't willing to give him, I think, 2 years at the most, but he wanted that 3-year deal from the Marlins, so he headed down south.
Down south, huh? All right. Well, so you know, so now we've covered Ellsbury going to the Yankees, right? He's going off to the dark side of the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about our new catcher. So what else? What other hot topics are going on in the offseason?
Oh, well, I think the biggest thing after that is the left side of the infield. You know, we had Stephen Drew. He was managed shortstop for the 2013 season. The big question is, though, is he going to be a shortstop in 2014, or is it going to be Xander Bogaerts?
Right. So what do you think?
I think the best thing for the Sox to do is actually re-sign Drew to one more year, shift Bogaerts to third, and then kind of leave Will Middlebrooks up in the air, although kind of make his relationship with Jenny Dell a little bit hard, you know, if he's in Pawtucket.
So what's this now? He's chasing Jenny Dell?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the weirdest thing. For the longest time, I could have sworn Middlebrooks was married to some Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, and suddenly I hear that Jenny Dell's moving in with him, although I wonder how she'll feel now that her boyfriend being demoted or traded for spare parts.
Oh my God! So guys, you heard it here. I mean, I didn't know any of this. So how about Middlebrooks then? I mean, is he destined for Pawtucket or what?
It's kind of hard. We all remember how Middlebrooks kind of kicked Kevin Youkilis out of his position back in 2012. And that year, Middlebrooks hit .288 with a .325 OBP, .509 slugging percentage. And, you know, it's just tough looking at his stats over the year. Last year, hit .227, .271 OBP, .425 slugging percentage. And it was just kind of sad to see someone who, you know, had superstar written all over him. You know, a lot of people compared him to Evan Longoria even, then be kind of reduced to someone who's demoted to Pawtucket for half the season and then benched through the whole World Series.
So what do you think the Sox plan is with him?
It's tough because he hit .276 with a .329 OBP and a .476 slugging percentage in the second half after he's promoted, which looks a little bit more like his rookie year. But also with Xander Bogaerts, and he absolutely tore it up in the ALCS and the World Series, it's going to be really hard, especially if you figure Drew's defense at short.
Right, so you think Bogaerts can probably go to third, is that right?
Yeah, and especially looking at Bogaerts, the kid made 19 errors in 96 games. Just as a comparison, Stephen Drew made 8 errors in 124 games. So Bogaerts isn't too good with the glove, and I think really the best thing is either to move him to third, because short, it's a tough position. He's a big guy. He's like 6'2", 185, 190 pounds, and he's only 21, so he's going to get bigger. It's going to be really tough for him to play short successfully. I think its best option is either move him to third, or maybe shift him over to first once Mike Napoli's done.
Well, all right, so let's go back to short now. So you think they ought to re-sign Drew?
Yeah, I think that's the best thing. Re-sign Drew to a one-year deal. Fact is Scott Boras toted Drew as some kind of a franchise game-changer player, like every player that he represents is. But the thing, of course.
I mean, if Scott Boras is your agent, you're absolutely a superstar,
yeah.
Right?
Thing is, though, you know, Drew's kind of looking at the back end of his career. He's a .250 hitter, and you know, no teams have jumped at him. And actually, Scott Boras has kind of been panicking, going to pretty much any team that'll kind of look for Drew and say, "Hey, here we go." I think he's thrown in a brand new Mercedes with the kid just to get him signed. So we'll see. I think the Red Sox are in a good position, especially because they gave Drew a qualifying offer, which means that if Drew signs with another team, the Sox get a draft pick.
Wow. So you predict that they're going to make a deal with him?
Yeah, and that'll either shift Middlebrooks down to Pawtucket, you know, in just in case of insurance. Either that, or they could make a package of Middlebrooks and a pitcher, considering they have 6 starting pitchers. You could easily see Middlebrooks and Lackey, Middlebrooks and Peavy, Middlebrooks and Dempster heading somewhere for a spare part, or maybe even an outfielder.
Oh, my God. That's pretty radical, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's great. So what some of the other stories? So what about Napoli?
Oh, Mike Napoli, the Sox signed him. They got him to a 2-year deal. It's kind of funny because the original deal back in 2000, back before the 2013 season, it was originally a 3-year deal that they cut down to 1 year, but it looks like Napoli's going to be here for 3 years anyway. And that's going to be interesting. I'm pretty happy Napoli's back. He was so crucial to the Sox this season, despite setting a franchise record in strikeouts. Fact is, he hit .259. He hit 23 homers, drove in 92 RBIs, hit .300 in the ALCS with 2 homers. So the fact is he's probably the second most productive player. And you figure Ortiz is headed into a decline, he could be their most productive player.
Wow. So, and you gotta figure he likes Boston, right?
Yeah, yeah. We all know how Napoli is kind of seen shirtless walking around, even bartending, I think, at various bars in Boston after the World Series. And that's one of those things you look at and you can say only in Boston.
Right. Well, he's made Boston his home, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. So we're gonna take a break and come back in a minute. And when I come back, I want to ask you what you think about Big Poppy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about the Sox pitching. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back with Tyler and our Hot Stove Report from MonsterMash.com. This is Dr. Steven Cianti, the founder and director of the Cianti Prostate Center of Boston. I want to remind you to learn more about prostate cancer and prostate disease. Go to drcianti.com. That's drscionti.com. Or call our offices at 617-696-1826. Remember to watch for our new locations in 2014. I'll be moving the Prostate Center to locations in Framingham and Norwood, Massachusetts. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on MonsterMash.com. Welcome back. This is Dr. Steven Cianti, founder and director of the Cianti Prostate Center of Boston at Greater Boston Urology. And today, we've done a recap of some of the most important topics for men's health. But really, I'm bringing you a special treat, Mr. Tyler Cianti, talking about Red Sox baseball and MonsterMash.com, MonsterMash.com. So guys, get on that website, check out his blog. So Tyler, we've covered topics. We've talked about the Ellsbury going to the Evil Empire. We've talked about Middlebrooks. I learned that I learned about his new girlfriend, Jenny Dell. But tell us about what's going on with Big Poppy. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, David Ortiz, that's a pretty interesting situation. He's kind of looking. He's got 1 year left on his contract, so he signed through 2014. He's looking for a contract extension. The thing is, though, Ortiz is 37, so if he gets an extension, he'll be signed when he's 39. And I don't know about you, that's kind of the age that the AARP starts sending you junk mail. I don't know if that's someone the Sox want in their lineup or their roster. But
he is the heart of the Red Sox,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Then there's the fact that he is Mr. Boston, won a World Series MVP. He also led the Sox in pretty much every offensive category in 2013. If you look at his .309 average with 30 homers and 103 RBIs, that's pretty hard to ignore. So the question is, how much longer can Big Poppy do it? You know, from 2008 to 2010, he was heading a steady decline. Somehow, miraculously, in 2011, he really turned his career around. Whether you want to debate whether that's steroids or just him losing about 50 pounds, that's up to you. Now, the question is, though, at 38 and 39, can Ortiz still do what he's been doing at 37?
I don't know. He looked pretty good throughout the postseason, didn't he?
Yeah, he was about as clutch as it got. And, you know, in the World Series, he hit better than some people hit in slow-pitch softball. So that's going to be pretty hard to ignore.
That's pretty hard to ignore, right? Listen, so, you know, how long have the Yankees kept Jeter around? Jeter's still there, right?
Oh, I think Jeter must be about 70 by now.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Ortiz, and that's the thing, is Ortiz, it's interesting because Ortiz could get paid $20 million a year. He's been taking 16 only, quote-unquote, $16 million a year from the Red Sox. But the fact is he deserves a lot more, and yeah, that just speaks a lot about him and his character and his loyalty to the Red Sox. Fact is Ortiz is 3-0 in the World Series with the Red Sox, and that means a lot to him, and he'd love to stay in Boston. I don't see Ortiz finishing his career anywhere else.
So you think he finishes his career as a Red Sox, right?
Yeah, I definitely say that.
Beautiful. All right, so now we got to hit the pitching. What's going on there?
Oh, well, pitching really was the strength of the Red Sox in 2013. Sure, their offense, they must have driven in like a million runs or something like that. But really, pitching was their big thing. That was really led by guys like John Lester and John Lackey. Lester, he went 15-8 with a 3.75 ERA to turn his career around after his really ugly 9-14 record with a 4.82 ERA in 2012. Especially Lester in the postseason, it was just downright nasty. If you look at his ERA in the ALDS, it was 2.35. It just got even worse, or even better, actually. In the ALCS, he had a 2.31 ERA, and then the World Series at a 0.59 ERA.
Yeah, those are killer numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So who do you think is going to be the starting rotation in the 2014?
I definitely peg it as probably Lester, Lackey, Buchholz, DuBrant, and either for the fifth spot, there's Dempster and Peavy. I'd say Peavy over Dempster. You know, I really think that Peavy, he's got that bulldog mentality. He's a gamer. you know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to go lights out, you know, five starts in a row, but he's the kind of guy that'll give you six or seven innings and kind of make faces and swear at the other teams while he does it. Dempster, I think he's more of a spot starter, kind of what Tim Wakefield did towards the end of his career. The guy that comes in and mop-up duty, the guy that saves the game after someone blows it or just kind of gives someone some rest.
Right. So, how about the bullpen now? That's the one thing. Is Koji going to have the same kind of year?
That's really tough to say because you know Uehara. He was 38 in 2013. That puts him at 39 in 2014, and it's just tough. You know, you're looking at his career, and you know last year really was probably his biggest, or I guess the workload was as big as last year than really over his entire career. He's tossed 74.1 innings in 2013, but in 2012 he only threw 36 innings. And so the question is, I think Uehara, I think Farrell's going to use him really sparingly. He's going to tone it down a bit. They got this guy Edward Mujica, who's basically a Uehara clone. And they got him from the Cardinals. I think that you could see a kind of a bullpen by committee type thing. I don't think it's Uehara exclusively. And it'll be interesting to see how Farrell decides to use Uehara. It's tough to ignore that 1.09 ERA.
Well, he surprised us in 2013, didn't he?
He definitely did. I mean, Koji was just, you know, he's incredible. People compared it to Dennis Eckersley's miracle seasons with the Sox. And you look at that 1.09 ERA, that 11.22 strikeout to walk ratio. I mean, that's just downright nasty. You know, and it's funny. You got a guy throwing 88-89 tops, and he's making the opposing teams look like a bunch of little leaguers.
Yeah, they do. They look pretty pathetic, don't they?
Yeah, especially in the postseason. That was fun to see.
All right, so what do you know we're now what 7 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, right?
Yeah, it's around the middle of February. They're gonna go down to JetBlue, and it'll be interesting. You know, everyone kind of talked about in 2013, oh, like who's Johnny Gomes, who's Ryan Dempster, you know, what are these guys? And they ended up winning the World Series. So you kind of look at the team they got now, who's AJ Pierzynski, who's this, who's that? But you know, honestly, you never know. I mean, they turned in baseball's best team last season with a couple of spare parts and duct tape. It's interesting to see what they're going to do now.
Well, you know what? It's going to be an exciting season. You know, we're looking out there. It's 25 degrees out there today. It's hard to imagine that spring training really is going to be here before we know it, right?
Yeah, and that's definitely something I'm looking forward to, especially with how cold and harsh the New England weathers are.
Well, that's great. So here we are. It's our hot stove report, right? We've got Tyler Cianti, Monstah Mash, MONSTAH .mash.com. Go to the blog site, guys, and check out this blog and follow Tyler on his blog site because, you know, you'll never know what you'll learn. And sometimes you don't read that always in the mainstream sports media, do you, Tyler?
Exactly. Yeah, we report the big stories, but also some of the stories that the Globe or the other ones are a little bit too afraid to report. Remember, that's monstah-mash.com, MONSTAH-mash.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and stay updated with the hot stove. It'll keep you warm till spring training.
Tyler, thanks for being our special guest. So this is Dr. Steven Cianti. I'm the director of the Cianti Prostate Center of Boston, and big news for 2014 is we're moving to locations in Framingham and Norwood, Massachusetts. So some of the high-tech diagnostics we've talked about, the Artemis biopsies, finding men for active surveillance, really finding the right personalized approach for every guy out there, be available in Framingham and Norwood come 2014. So stay tuned. We'll be back to close out our show. This is Dr. Steven Cianti. Remember, go to drcianti.com. We'll be right back. Well, we're just about out of time. Thanks for listening today. We talked about a lot here on Men's Health New England, and this has been a great 6 months of the show, and I want you to really stay tuned to next year because we're going to strive to bring you even wider variety of guests and really hit some of those important topics. You know, on today's show, we really talked about some of the highlights over the last year, you know, and I think the same theme has run through a lot of our shows. And as we said, it comes back to lifestyle management, comes back to proper diet and exercise routines. You guys have heard it all, but now we've given you some very specific advice about what types of foods to eat, what types of supplements are good, really, how do you find that magic ingredient that's going to, you know, keep you healthy throughout your life? So We're excited to bring you that this year. We'll continue to do that in our, into our next year. And, of course, Tower gave us our hot stove report today, monsta-mash.com. Read what about the Red Sox, which you won't necessarily hear in the mainstream media. So I want you to keep on tuning into us every week. I want to thank our sponsors this year. We've had sponsors like Strata Diagnostics, Healthtronics, the manufacturer of cryotherapy equipment, and, of course, Cenogenics Boston, Dr. Lars Bowman. And you'll see Dr. Bowman back on several shows in the coming year. So it's been a great year, great time doing the show, and we look forward to next year. Remember, for more information on what we do, go to drcianti.com at the Cianti Prostate Center. Learn more about prostate cancer. Learn more about prostate disease at that website. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. So this is Dr. Stephen Cianti. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back in 2014 with more on Men's Health New England.